So let's do it. Everybody ready?
Go ahead.
All right, I will let you know when it's over. I don't know why it's not coming back. Sorry, Mike. Here it goes. 45 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
1, 2, 3. Texas rules! Texas rules! Texas rules! Texas rules!
Thank you.
Eagles! Showtime!
It's a Little Thing Tech Show. And that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are letting it bad. For the streaming, go direct to DLNTS.org. And IC channel is a LinuxThing.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, go together, just about to begin.
All right, that's it. Welcome to Linux Link Tech Show, episode 331, correct?
Yep. All night.
All night and tomorrow, too. Fantastic guest tonight. Pat, introduce our guest, because I am so excited.
We've got Mike Badger from Scratch Guide. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Great. Well, thanks for having me on. I'm sure you appreciate it.
Anytime. Let us know. Let everybody know what is Scratch Guide and what's it all about.
Well, Scratch Guide is actually my website, and I wrote a book recently and published it through Pact Publishing. It's a beginner's guide to Scratch, and Scratch is a programming language developed by the Lifelong Kindergarten Group up at MIT. It's targeted towards kids, you know, as young as 8, and one of the things that makes it really cool is it's drag and drop, so you got lots of colorful blocks, you can stack them around, create scripts, make your characters do things, you can create some games. It has a real low barrier to entry, so that means like no syntax errors, you know, if you want to learn how to program and learn some concepts, syntax errors sometimes get in the way. So it just kind of everything fits together. It just kind of works, and you get to see some immediate results. So the book I wrote was for educators, for teachers, and really just for parents who maybe want to, you know, kind of learn Scratch so they can help their kids learn it, kind of thing. Or maybe you're an older kid or an adult or something who just wants to learn some programming skills. Like it's kind of a good language for that. It's just really a teaching language. And so I wrote a tutorial and went from there. It's really a cool language. I don't know if you guys had a chance to mess around with it at all.
I haven't had a chance to try it out personally, but I was checking out some of the videos about it, and it looks interesting. I guess what's the target age they want for this language? It's for younger kids, right?
Yeah, as young as 8. I showed it to my niece who is 6, and she was picking up on some things. She wasn't able to really create too much on her own, but together we were able to do some stuff, and she was interested. But most of the Scratch literature says 8 years and up.
Quick question for you, which is actually going to lead into something else, but hopefully. What is your involvement with Scratch itself other than the user's guide or the book that you wrote? Do you have any affiliation with the project?
No, actually I don't. I'm just, the way I came about is with my publisher, I wrote another book and published the previous year on Xenos Core, which is a network and systems monitoring package. So I finished that up, and I was talking with some of my editors, and they said, "Have you ever seen this programming language called Scratch?" I'm like, "Well, I heard of it." So I went and checked it out, and I'm like, "That's really cool. You know, it's like everything I didn't have access to when I was 10. So I messed around with it for a while. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll write the book on that. And that was kind of my introduction to Scratch and my introduction to the involvement with the project. And you know, mostly I have just been out talking about Scratch. A couple of places I was at, Ohio Linux Fest and the Central Pennsylvania Open Source Conference in Harrisburg. So I did a few talks there. It's really just talking about Scratch and kind of promoting it more so than maybe my book, because most people I find need to know about the Scratch programming language before they go buy a book about it. So it's a peripheral thing. I have talked with, had some contact with the Scratch project. You know, they've been working on a Linux version, so I've been driving that around here and there and using it, and it works pretty well.
You know what, Mike? That was going to be my biggest complaint, because I got excited when I saw the Scratch stuff, and I was looking forward to messing around with it. And when I went to the Scratch website to download it, all it said was for about Windows or Mac. And I was like,
oh, I found
man.
A link.
Yeah, but and then I said, but if this guy's coming on our show, there has to be a Linux version. Sure enough,
gotta be a Linux
I
one,
found
yeah.
one. And it works great. It's unfortunate it's just not off their main page that it's visible that it's easy to get to without doing some more digging. That was my only bummer about it. But
yeah,
it's
looking
to put
the PPA.
Yeah, I don't know why they bury it. It's considered experimental. Right now the only thing I know of that doesn't necessarily work that should is sound recording. You know, because one of the things that Scratch does is it lets you bring all of these extra pieces into your project, like sound, images, and just, you know, bring them in, remix them, animate them, and you know, program against them and make them do stuff. That's part of its allure. But yeah, I agree. It's been working pretty well, and it's kind of odd because one of Scratch's core audiences is teachers, educators. You know, people are using it in the classroom to teach computer science, and really just as sometimes as a way to deliver other subjects. But you know, I've been talking mostly to Linux people. Because I guess in that respect, I'm just kind of focusing on kind of the technical crowd first, who I think, generally speaking, would have some kids that fit in the target audience that would want to, it'd be a nice way for people, for you to sit down with your kid and show them some computer programming and teach them how to create some stuff rather than just to use it and sitting behind a keyboard playing Mafia Wars or something goofy like that. So yeah, I've been that little twist isn't lost on me. They do have the Linux version. It's a small link, I think, still at the bottom of the download page, and on the Scratch Guide website that I have, I talk about the Linux version as much as I possibly can, just to promote it a little bit more.
Yeah, I have it running on Ubuntu, and I also have it running on Arch, and you know, it seems to work fine in both of them.
Yeah, one of the.
Had
it. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say I haven't had any problems yet. So.
Yeah, I haven't either. Even the webcam, the latest package they have for the Linux version, even the webcam support works, which, that just sort of plugs into your, detects your plugged-in webcam, and you can snap some photos of yourself or your dog or whatever happens to be in the background and just bring it in and into your project as a background or as a sprite. And in Scratch, the characters that you work with are called sprites. So everything's kind of right there, and it's contained in one, you know, the IDE and the runtime environment are all kind of in the same interface. So you have blocks on the left, a place, a workspace in the middle where you create your scripts, and then a stage on the right hand side as you look at it, and you know, everything's right there. It's easy to get to, and you know, you can. One of the nifty things about Scratch is that you, as you build the block, as you build your scripts, you can often interact with it in real time. So if you want to make your cat move across the screen 5 pixels at a time, you put them in a loop or something like that. You know, he just keeps going, and then you can increase it and say, well, maybe I want to do 10 pixels at a time, and so you change it, and without any without any compiling or anything, got it. Now he just moves 10 pixels at a time, and you can add blocks to that loop, and it just kind of keeps going and going. So it's, you know, it's meant to be kind of easy to get into and easy to see results, which is part of its allure.
Now, the book that you wrote, did you say it is it geared towards like parents and teachers to assist kids in programming, or is it something a kid could pick up that's between, like, say, like pre-adolescent and adolescent, maybe over the age of 8? Would they be able to pick that book up and find it accessible to them to be able to learn how to use this application?
I didn't. I wrote it primarily for adults, so teachers and parents. However, I didn't write it to such a level that somebody who was maybe 13, 14, or 15, you know, I think they could pick up that book and still follow along and read it and understand it. It's just kind of a project-based, you know, each chapter introduces some kind of project, and we just build it block by block. I mean, you know, drag this block here and add another block to it, and you know, so it's step by step. So I think anybody could follow it. You know, sometimes whatever humor I might have injected in there might not translate so well, but you know, there's nothing offensive or nothing inherently hard or obtuse about the language I use. So it is accessible. I wouldn't say probably, you know, 8 or 10 year old probably wouldn't find it the easiest thing in the world to read through, but a little bit older than that, I think so.
So it's great to have this book right there with the application open, and you can follow along inside with the projects and build stuff.
Yep. It's, you know, we go through part of the underpinnings of Scratch is this kind of creativity, circle of creativity. So the creators wanted to a software environment where you could imagine something. So you imagine your project and you just start and you build it, you share it, you get some feedback, you incorporate that feedback into the next version, and then the cycle starts over again. So it has a lot of common programming concepts built into it, obviously. But you know, things like variables, it has arrays, it does keyboard input, loops, conditional statements, you know, kind of the normal things that you would expect in a basic programming language. It doesn't do like file input or output or anything like that. So that it's not full. I mean, it's not Java, it's not C, or you know, it's not something like that. But it has the basics that you need to get familiar with some concepts and some basics in programming. And it actually goes a little further than that, and you know, emphasizes design because it has a built-in image editor where you can create some your sprites or edit existing sprites, and you know, so you get a little bit of design. You get to work on, you know, sequences and storytelling and narration, and you know, that all that kind of stuff. So it's all those critical thinking skills, I think, that you know, learning how to program teaches you. It just happens to be in a block by block kind of environment.
One of the programming learning tools that has always been heralded over the years is Logo. How does Scratch compare to Logo?
The Scratch itself is written in Squeak, so it's based in Squeak. It's inspired by Logo. So I think Seymour Papert was one of the key contributors to Logo, and he had some input along with the MIT team in designing and building out Scratch. So Scratch is very much, they give credit to Logo as an inspiration, and the MIT team has worked with Legos, you know, Lego Mindstorms, and had some assistance there in bringing, you know, some interactivity to that, to the Lego stuff. And you know, the Scratch just happens to be the most recent effort that they're working on. And actually, the latest version of Scratch does support the Lego We Do Robotics kit, which I haven't had a chance really to play with. I wish my son was a little bit older, because we would have some.
Is your son working on Scratch?
No, he's only two. So he's not quite there yet. One of the things I really liked about it when I saw it, I was, man, you know, I grew up in, I guess, late 80s or so, and even though there were some PCs or some personal computers running around at that time, I didn't have access to one. So I took a programming course in high school, and we did something, I don't even remember what it was, but it wasn't any fun, and I didn't really see the point. But when I saw Scratch, I'm like, man, if I would have had this, who knows what I, you know, what I could have done, or what I would have done, or maybe I would have chosen to be a programmer in my professional life and get all the accolades and praise that programmers do. For, you know, that's a little humor there.
They don't get a lot of accolades, believe me.
Depending on which company you work for. But,
they yell at you all the time.
I've always worked in my career. I've always worked kind of, yeah. You know, I'm not a programmer. You know, I do some things, but professionally, I've always worked kind of side by side. I've been in that, either in a tech support role or in a quality assurance role. So I really enjoy some software testing. So, and most recently, that's automated testing, but I've always been kind of connected, but never developing software in a production environment.
So it sounded like you had said before that the impetus for writing this book was at the request of your publisher, after you had written the book about Xenos for them previously. What was their interest in publishing this book? Did they see a pretty large audience for this?
Yeah, it's I never really asked them what their main motivation was, but you know, they do some research. Generally, I think what happens is they get requests for titles from their readers, and then they go and check the project out and research it and see what kind of user base it has, and kind of get a sense of how much traction it has. And they keep current with tech news, so they know what projects are making news and things like that. And from there, it's basically, you know, once they make the decision, it's basically a risk. You know, they hope to recover at least enough to get back if they paid me originally to write it, which isn't all that much, but still, they see a market for it. And more importantly, I saw a market for it. I saw something I could get behind a little bit more, maybe so than the Zenoth book. Because after I published that one, I kind of lost some involvement with Zenoth. So I didn't, that's not something you kind of sit at home with your free time and figure, oh well, I'm going to set up a monitoring server today. But something with Scratch, for example, I see some opportunities. I see it as a way here to try to get some things going locally where I'm at. I'm sitting up here in north central Pennsylvania, so we're kind of a rural area. Well, not kind of, we are a rural area. So I think there's some opportunity for me to team up with either the libraries or some of the local schools to offer some computer work, some computer club type of activities. So that's kind of what I've been working on in the past month or two, is trying to identify some of those places where I can go and reach out to them and say, here's a great resource, and maybe we should try to do something together.
That's pretty nice. That'd be very rewarding. When I went to the Scratch website, I noticed that they had a lot of projects up there available to not only download, but you could actually mess around with them in the web browser. How easy is it to export a project out and be able to display it on the web like that?
Yeah, didn't really talk about that, but that's one of the key components of Scratch is, you can publish your project right from the interface, right from the IDE. So you need an account on the Scratch website, and once you have a username and password, you publish it. And the publishing process makes it into a little Java applet, and that's it. You tag it with some keywords, and it's on the Scratch website, which means people can play it in their browser. You can share the link then to the web version of your project, and then people can download your project code and remix it if they want, and republish it if they want. And that's the collaboration side of Scratch. And there's quite a few projects. Right now it's just about 787,000 projects they have uploaded, if you look at the current stats from the bottom of the page. That's some pretty good numbers. The Scratch website is a lot of young members there, a lot of kids hanging out and sharing and talking. There's people of all ages, of course, but it's primarily for the kids.
So if you wanted to share it, do you have to share it through the Scratch website, or could you export it on your own and trade files that way? And are they only usable then inside the Scratch interface? Or did you say they actually get exported out into a Java application?
Yeah, they get exported, on the web. They're a Java applet, so you can create your own Scratch server, if you will. They have a full-blown open source version of the Scratch website, this platform that runs the Scratch website called Scratcher, it's on my list to check out. I haven't done it yet. So you could do it that way, run a whole site dedicated, your own Scratch site. But there's also, they make available a couple Java files, so you could take those two Java files, put them in a web directory, and stick your project in that directory and write some HTML to call it, and you have your own, that's portable, you can run that off of your own web server. And it's a Java app at that point. Because the project file that you create, everything's contained in that one file. So all your audio, all your images, all your scripts are just in one single file, and it's a .sc file, and so you could send it that way.
So what's the favorite thing you've created so far in Scratch?
Probably my favorite game would be the fortune teller game. So that was actually one of the projects I used in my book. But basically, you know, the premise is we're going to the fortune teller, but before you get the fortune, you got to build it. You got to build the questions, build the answers. So it was a project to introduce arrays primarily, but we used the magic 8-ball responses and kind of randomized it so that when we had the seeker, that the one who wants to know if their hair is going to fall out by the time they're 40, or and the teller, which was the fortune teller. So, you know, based on the question, we programmed to spit out a random answer. And that project actually used mod so we could force a positive answer on every fifth question or something like that. So just had a lot of fun kind of creating that one and allowed me to be a little playful.
I was just playing around with the interface, and it kind of looks like, we talked about Lego Mindstorms. Lego Mindstorms, it ships with its own language and its own, like, integrated development environment for that language. And it's kind of the same, you know. You have like a little window, and you move it around, and you snap, you know, different pieces in there, and movements. It's kind of like the same idea.
Yeah, and you know that's not surprising. Like I said, I had a good excuse right now to buy some Mindstorms and some Lego we do, because I would have them.
Yeah. Well, wait till after Christmas when the kid, you know, plays with it for about, you know, a week, and then they put it up on eBay.
Then it becomes mine.
Half the price. We actually had one of the guys who wrote one of the Lego Mindstorm books on, Brian Bagnall. He does it using the replacement, using full-blown Java that they ported over to it. And that seems to be a lot more. That seems to be a lot more powerful than that language that they ship it with.
Oh, cool!
But it's a different target, you know. The language that comes with those things, I guess it's kind of like the same kind of deal with Scratch. It's targeted really towards kids, you know. Whereas the full blown Java implementation is really for people who really want to get, you know, crazy with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it scratches, you know, like you said, it is what it is, I think it does a very good job of getting people engaged. I know a guy I work with used it with his 13-year-old son to kind of teach him some programming stuff. He was asking me one day, talking about, my son wants to learn how to program, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what I should show him. And I said, well, you should try Scratch, of course. And he did, and, it, you know, of course it started out making the little cat run across the screen, but it ended up being some shooting games and, you know, swords and guns and lives and, you know, that kind of stuff. But still, it gave Bob and his son a chance to talk about different concepts, like, you know, variables and using some of that logic to keep track of how many lives you have, and then things like gravity when jumping and things like that. So,
so So your day job, you do software QA, you said, and system administration?
I'm kind of all over the place. My day job, I'm a project manager for a marketing firm. So I do a bunch of different stuff. One of the things I do is QA. And I used to work at an educational agency here in Pennsylvania, which was an intermediate unit. We developed a lot of software, and that's where I started writing water scripts. So water is a testing framework for Ruby. So we had a .NET app, and I was writing tests against it. So I've been doing QA just about every place I've worked, you know, since my days at Mindspring, which were a little while ago now, in Earthlink. So, yeah, so I started out as kind of working in support, and before that, with the service, I was in the Navy, so I worked in an operations center there, did all that fun stuff. So I've been collecting different, slightly different titles and responsibilities along the way, but it's always kind of been about finding out how to use all this cool technology we have, and then once I know how to use it, that seems to be one of my skills, is figuring out how to use all this stuff and then explaining it to other people in a way that they can get moving with it and help, you know, that's kind of my core, is helping people figure this other stuff out too, and being able to write about it. Xenos was a good example. I started messing around with it. I have a good friend there, currently the VP of marketing, or not marketing, but community there, Mark Hinkle. And he's like, dude, like, he asked me, I was working with him to do some stuff, and I'm like, man, your documentation really sucks. But, and it wasn't a big surprise. I mean, everybody kind of knew that. So that's where that opportunity came about. And I was actually using it or starting to use it for the place I was at, so I was engaged with it. I'm getting ready now, where I'm at, to see if my current employer is ready to see any benefits in networking monitoring. Specifically, we have a lot of websites, you know, like a lot of modern web companies, we develop these web applications, and sometimes they go down and they lose orders and spend a lot of money sending pay-per-click ads to a dead app. So I think there's an opportunity there. So we're gonna test it out. We're gonna test that hypothesis and see if they're ready for it. And then that actually gives me the monitoring environment I need to update the book. I'll be starting an update to that book here and after the new year. That's kind of what I do. That kind of stuff kind of feeds my mind a little bit. I can't just slide by. I have to kind of search out for something to learn. I'm always looking to learn something new. I found that writing about some of this stuff takes care of that urge.
So how long have you been working with Xenos stuff?
I started about 2 years ago. Maybe that's about right. Maybe a little bit longer than that. So back about version 2.2. They're on 2.5 now. They just released. So I don't know if you're familiar with Xenos. It's quite a robust. It's a nice robust application. It does a lot of things. Just trying to figure it out all sometimes is part of the problem.
Yeah, I'm fairly, you know, I'm familiar with it. I've never actually used it. I've seen it. I've read up a little bit about it, but I think Dave Yates, you use Zenos, right?
No, sir. I don't think I ever have.
Wait a minute, you were all chummy with the Zenos guys, weren't you?
Well, they sponsored the Southeast Linux Fest.
Yeah. Oh, you just
I know some
their
Zenos
money.
People. Yeah. No, they're good people.
Yeah, Mark and Matt. Yeah, they were out. They sponsored Ohio Linux Fest. They were at they're in Harrisburg too, or Mark was at least in Harrisburg, talking about Zenos and showing it off.
Was that at the CP Lug, whatever it is?
Yeah, CPLSC.
Okay, yeah. Is that where you're at? Are you out in Harrisburg area?
No, I'm actually, you could say Williamsport, so I'm right here, a little farther north in Williamsport.
Okay.
Cool.
Why is that cool?
I just think it is. I at least I know where he's from. So.
Yeah, it's kind of. I've lived other places. I'm from the general area up here, and I moved away. I lived in Harrisburg for a while. I lived in Dallas, Fort Worth for a while. Spent some time in Raleigh. Spent some time in Honolulu a while ago, but no place like home, I guess.
That's right.
You come home and you have all this snow to deal with. You don't have this.
Yeah.
You don't have this wet, heavy crap in Texas.
How much snow did you get snow today?
Yeah, we probably had. Well, it was raining by the time I got up, so there was probably 3 inches on the ground still when I was leaving for work, and it was pretty bad. It was heavy and wet and slick.
Yeah, we have like some flooding over here.
Again?
On the roads and stuff. Not ridiculously bad, but just like on the roads and stuff.
You guys are in the Lehigh Valley, right? Most of you?
I am, and Alan is. Dan moved down to Virginia.
Yeah, I don't get any snow. Woohoo!
Yeah. It's a holiday when it snows down there.
It occasionally snows. You get like about a quarter of an inch, a little dusting, and then everything shuts down.
I was just going to say, everything shuts down there when that happens.
Yeah, how many snowplows do you have there?
What's a snowplow?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You don't get snow, do you, Dave Yates?
Yeah, we get 3 or 4 inches a year, but I think the county I live in is we have one sand truck, and no snowplows. We got
what does sand do?
Well,
traction.
Sand is all you can.
That's
do.
About it.
Yeah, we get a couple of good ice storms a year, and we had an 18-inch snow like when I was in college. So it's rare, but we'll get 4 or 5 inches occasionally.
What happens when the outhouse freezes?
It's hard living.
Hey, Mike. You have no relationship to MichaelBadger.com, do you?
Absolutely none.
All right. Apparently, he's a spammer.
Yeah, he's, I don't know what's going on there, but I saw that domain was taken, so.
Unfortunately.
I have two domains, you know, scratchguide.com and then kind of some other site that's been languishing for a while. I don't know what to do with, but badgerfiles.com, and I've been kind of trying to optimize that for my name so I can get up there in the search results so I can compete with that guy. So I don't want to be confused with him, you know. I'm publishing under my full name. I don't want people to think that's me.
Is that your dog on the Scratch Guide website? Is that your dog? There's pictures across the top.
Yeah. I had to think what you were looking at there, but yeah, that's my German short hair pointer. He's a good old bird dog.
Good dog.
So what? You obviously use a lot of Linux, correct?
Yes, that's my main desktop here at home, and I just ordered a netbook from Dell with Ubuntu on it.
You know what? Why don't you go ahead and order me one of those too?
Me too.
Me too.
I'll give you a request on my wife.
But those Vostros? Is it a Vostro, that Vostro there showing the other? I'm trying to remember the model number, but there was a Vostro that's been going making the rounds. With Ubuntu as an option.
Is that a netbook?
No. Full on laptop, a nice
netbook.
One. Oh, well, I didn't hear. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Pay attention.
Doesn't matter.
Is your main desktop,
you're doing good job.
You using Ubuntu?
Yeah, I am. I've been using Ubuntu now here. Actually, the system I bought a couple years ago was soon after Dell started selling Ubuntu systems, so I bought one of those. Before that, I was running at an old system that was running some flavor of Ubuntu. I made the switch from Red Hat to Debian, and then Debian kind of just picked up on Ubuntu. Just seems I don't know what it is. I guess maybe I like apps better than the other stuff. I don't know, but
who doesn't?
It feels better when I'm
awesome.
Using the Ubuntu compared to the Red Hat variant, you know, Zora now. But.
I don't think I ever heard anybody say, you know what? I just don't like apt. I prefer RPM.
Right. Whatever.
I like Yum.
Who says they like Yum?
I do.
Better than apt?
330 does.
I think it's prettier. It's got a little more information.
I think somebody needs to be kicked off this channel.
But there's one less command to update your system.
Yeah, that's true. What are you going to do? Although CentOS is really nice. I really like that. Hey, Gorkon, what do you got? An air conditioner going on back there? Industrial dryer?
No.
You riding around in a hovercraft?
You didn't give him the turbo server, did you?
Probably the freaking noisy laptop is what it is.
Holy,
that's a laptop.
Yeah, it's got a fan that's been going bad like forever. Either that or it's this desktop sitting underneath. Or the Doros link.
Mike, does your wife use Linux too?
No, we haven't gone down that road yet. I think she would if I just got it for her. You know, but she still has, I think, it's XP running on her laptop. I have an old PowerBook that's going slowly. That's why I got my netbook. It's time to upgrade. But I thought the book was kind of interesting too, because I was looking for a Mac. I don't know. This must have been probably 5 or 6 years ago now. I started working with Winfrolin. I was doing some support for them for a while. I wanted a Linux desktop. But I wanted a Macintosh. So I found a reseller that was packaging PowerBooks dual booted with Yellow Dog Linux.
Ooh.
It was kind of unfortunate timing, because it was after I bought it, within a year I think Apple announced they were going to Intel chips. So I figured there wasn't much hope for Yellow Dog Linux. So I just took it off and eventually took it off and stuck using the OS X. So I had my Mac for probably like I said, a year before I booted into it, really.
So. Yeah, I used to run, I've tried a couple of different PPC versions of Linux. Yellow Dog, Crux, PPC, I believe I ran Debian, too. Didn't Ubuntu have a PPC
version? Yeah, I ran
Debian
on mine.
They did. They do.
Yeah, Ubuntu did have one.
Yellow Dog's still making it, isn't it? Aren't they? Aren't they still doing PPC?
Yeah, that's what comes on the
PlayStation.
PS3,
yeah.
Yeah,
well, not
they
anymore.
They loaded on
PS3.
That's the
player
process,
yeah.
What?
Isn't the PS3 a cell processor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's similar to the PowerPC.
Yeah,
it's
similar.
But they took out that ability to be able to install Linux on the newer versions, didn't they?
No, they did not.
Yeah.
You just hooked your hard drive up to it.
Yep.
Well.
All the,
really?
The motherboards are the same. All you have to do is either take the case apart and leave it apart, or just Dremel you out a little spot to run the cable out and just hook your hard drive up outside the case.
And then ruin your warranty.
You can do it off a USB hard drive. You can't do it off a USB hard drive. You know,
not that I'm aware of. I don't have one, so I can't test it.
Sell a couple
somebody
of those cats and get
one,
yourself
though.
One.
If somebody buys me one, I totally will try it.
You should have Pegwell buy you one.
Peggy.
He's moving out, isn't he?
That's what he says.
He's got himself a girlfriend.
He ain't moving in with her, though. Hey, you know what? Who cares about Pegwell?
That's what I was thinking.
Anyway.
This is the Pegwell show.
Turn into something kind of trashy.
So, Mike, if people are interested in buying your books, checking them out, they can go to Scratch Guide or, what was the other URL?
BadgerFiles.com.
BadgerFiles.com. If they want to purchase them, they can purchase them directly from Packet.
That's right, and both my sites have affiliate links, so if you click through from my site and buy from Pax, I get some kind of affiliate book reward. So
now, do you get you get royalties regardless where they buy it from, right?
That's correct. Yeah. So I got they give me an advance to write it, and then I have to pay back my royalty, in essence, so the first, probably 800 or 1,000 books I sell will cover royalties or the advance they gave me, and then after that I actually get royalties, I earn royalties based on sales. I don't know how this book is doing yet. It just got published in June of this year, so publishing world's kind of, for all the technology and access we have today, they run about a quarter or two behind in your actual sales numbers. So I'm hoping to see, the first time I see sales numbers are going to be for like 2 weeks of the one quarter, and I'll have to wait another full quarter to see what I was actually doing here in the last part of this year. So kind of stopped worrying about it. I'm like, I'll figure it out eventually. The Xenos book has been selling steadily. It's not a blockbuster by any means, but we're going to update it and see what happens there. So
nice. Mike, I ordered the book. Unfortunately, I could not order it from Packet. Every time I tried, it kept telling me that there was a problem. And I was bummed out, so I had to settle through Amazon.
That worked. I appreciate it.
and I look forward to it, and I look forward to giving turning stuff over to my daughter so she can mess around with it and see what she can create with it.
How old is your daughter?
I have two of them. One is 11, the other is 8.
Ah, perfect.
So, I hope she's 8. She better be 8. Yeah, she's got to be 8. To yell at me if I, because I never remember how old she is. Now, the older one played around with Logo for a little while. But I think this will be right up her alley a little more. Because, you know, looking at some of the stuff, it's just, it's easier to create and just do storyboarding and everything, like you said, and create little things that are more interesting and interactive for that age level.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things I try to do, and, you know, so far, feedback has been pretty positive. But one of the things I try to do is just walk through all the main concepts of that Scratch has to offer in a project setting. But I fully expect that, you know, a lot of people, when they are working through the examples, you know, at some point they're gonna leave the example I wrote and take off on their own, and that's perfect. You know, that's about getting some ideas and getting other people to get ideas. Because one of the things I found is you work through this stuff and you start actually thinking about what can I make, what can I create. It doesn't take long for you have a whole bunch of ideas just kind of hitting you all at once. So it's very easy to just get sidetracked and lost. But I hope you enjoy it.
Nice. Sweet. Well, Michael, I thank you for coming on the show tonight. And I hope that more people check out Scratch and Scratch Guide and throw some support your way. We are going to move on to some other topics. You're welcome to stick around as long as you like. But I just wanted to make sure that we thank you. So
excellent. Hey, I appreciate it, guys. After I get this next one out, we can come talk about Xenon.
Well, definitely. But, we'd love to have you back on. You're more than welcome to come on anytime you want. When do you have a general idea when that's going to be, the updated version is going to be out?
If I keep my time schedule, I'll have my draft done in the beginning of March. So probably April time frame.
Sweet. Okay.
I'm gonna buck out here. I gotta do some evening things here with the family. But again, I appreciate it and look forward to talking to you later.
All right. Thanks a lot, Michael. Have a great night. And
yo, cool stuff.
Perhaps you can hack a loogie into the microphone again there, Josh.
And he did it.
And so saith Darth Vader.
Well, the big news this week is my server took a nosedive. Crashed long and hard.
Oh, is it dead now?
No. Well, actually, I think I know what the problem was.
Pepcac?
Huh?
Pepcac. Problem exists between chair and keyboard?
Yeah, that's it.
Probably.
No, actually, what happened was, on Sunday, everything was running fine. I had recalled, you know, I was messing around on my blog, doing some stuff, and I recalled that Dan, whose blog is Adventures in... Is it Adventures in Open Source?
Something like that. I think that's what it is.
Dan Lynch from Linux Outlaws?
What was that?
You talking about Dan Lynch from Linux Outlaws?
Yeah, Dan Lynch. Adventures in Open Source. I believe that's his blog. Anyway, he was talking about how he had switched to his hosting his own blogging, and he was using WordPress. And he installed that WordPress WP Stats. And I thought I'd give that a check, you know, check it out. So I installed WP Stats and got it up and running. And I went to bed. And when I woke up in the morning, everything was down. And I was like, what the heck happened? But the actual server itself was not down. The CentOS running, it was just the virtual machines were gone. So I started them back up, which I thought was really odd. And I noticed that I had like a SmartD reported that there was an error, you know, an issue with the hard drive. But everything was running fine. So I went off to work that day, which was on Monday, and about halfway through the morning, it went down again, and I was bummed. Actually, no, wait, let me correct that. It was at night that it went down on Monday. I went home, and I fixed it, and later on that night, it went down again, I think. And I got it back up. That's when I noticed a hard drive error, and I'm like, if this keeps happening, I'm going to have to order a new hard drive. I've got to figure something out. So in the morning, it was down, and got it back up and running, and I went off to work, and it just kept... I had my wife rebooting the server, because I had it all set up that it would automatically... So she did that twice, and afterwards, it was like, it just wasn't coming, wasn't staying up. So I figured I was going to get home, and I had a spare hard drive that I could put in there temporarily.
That's nice. Another
hard drive. Yeah. I ordered another hard drive. This was a smaller drive, though. It was like, I think it was 50 gigs. And I came home with the expectation that I was going to rip it out and replace, you know, rebuild everything. This was a fiasco, actually, which I was getting everything ready, so I pulled down. I was talking to Link. He's like, I couldn't remember what I did with CentOS last time. I said, you know, I want to do a minimal install for a server. I could probably just get away with doing the boot, boot disk install and do it off the FTP server. And he's like, well, you should download the DVD. It'll be the fastest way to do it. So I downloaded this 3.7 gig DVD, which isn't too bad, but the problem is I don't have a DVD burner in my system. I had a blank DVD, but I don't have a DVD burner in my workstation at work, so I'd have to bring the image home. So I go to copy the image on my 4 gig flash card, and the 4 gig flash card, when it's all formatted and everything, will allow me to put on 3.5 gigs. So that's not going to work. So that was, you know. So then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to use Split. I'm going to split this, the ISO up into two files, copy them over to my Mezzo, and I could take it home and burn it on to its DVD through that way. And he's like, well, you know, once you get it home, if you just set it up on a web server, you could do the netboot install by putting the netboot or the boot install ISO onto a flash drive using unetboot and point it to the web server that has the DVD mounted as a loopback device. And I'm like, okay, that's great. So all I need to do is just transfer the files over to the Mezzo. So I got it would be like a two gig and a 1.5 gig, or roughly that, files, and I'd be good to go. Plus the 400 megabytes for VMware server. So I go to split the file, but I can't split the file because I don't have enough hard drive space on my workstation. So I'm like, man, what am I going to do? I'm like, well, I got to delete all my music files over there. But that's a bummer because I have a lot of them on there. It's like 10 gigs, which is too much music that I listen to at work. So then I'm like, I had the brilliant idea. I'll just mount the Windows XP partition because I never use it, and I'll go in there.
Bad idea.
Split the file in there.
I know where this is going.
Actually, that worked. I mounted that. I went over there. I split the file into two roughly equal sizes. Put the one file transferred it over to the Mezzo via the flash card. At the same time, while I was downloading the ISO image, and the time it took me to download the ISO was about roughly the same amount of time it took me to split the files, copy them over, and then cat them back together, which was a lot shorter than it would take for me to SCP it from my workstation over to my more so through the wireless connectivity. Anyway, long story short, I got it on. Everything finally. I had it all set up to be able to mount it and do this. I got the net boot ready to go. Everything was ready to go when I got home. So I get home, I tear apart the other server, because that's where I had the old hard drive in, and I take it out, and I go and I open up the new server, and I notice that it's all dusty inside, you know. Not that bad, not as bad as the old one used to be, but the fans were a little clogged, and the vents in the front were a little clogged. So I take it out, get it all assembled, I put the hard drive into the rack, and I slide it in, and it won't go in. Right, same damn size hard drive as the other one. Standard hard drive, it will not slide in. It goes in, it won't
connect. Did you have to get rid of the mouse corpse that was stuck in there?
Nah, it wouldn't connect. It wouldn't slide in. Their IDE drive, so it wouldn't. I take the drive out and I look at it and I compare it to the other one, and sure enough, the connectors are about an eighth of an inch to the right compared to the other drive, and that eighth of an inch, it will not line up with the power or the IDE interface into the drive, and I have no wiggle room in there. And I'm like, man, this really stinks. I can't use this drive in this server here because it will not fit no matter what I do, because the interface is, and I'm like, why isn't this standard? It should be standard. Makes absolutely no sense to me. Anyway, so I'm like, well, the odd thing is this machine is not dying. I mean, the server is chugging along just fine. It's the VM that's dying. And it only seems to be happening, you know, with regards to the virtual machine. Everything else seems to be fine. So I clean the thing out thoroughly. I vacuum it out, suck all the dust bunnies out of it, get everything, get some airflow going in there. And my thought was, all right, until this new drive comes, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it, I'm going to copy the virtual machine as a backup in case that there's some bad sector or something that is tripping in that virtual machine. So I do that, I get it back up and running, I have the copy, I'm running on the copy, in case there's a bad thing, and so far it has not had a problem. It's been chugging along just like it did before. So I'm starting to wonder if it didn't really have a problem with the disk, I'm wondering if the drive was overheating. Because that drive area would seem to be where a lot of the dust was caught up in there, and it was probably blocking airflow. So I'm wondering if it was an overheating issue. It's a possibility. But as soon as that new hard drive comes, it's 150 gigs, so it's a little larger than the one I have in there. I'm going to probably switch them around and get the other one up, other server up and running as a failover in case I have issues like this again. But so far, it's been running great. No problem. Yeah, you keep laughing.
Wow, that was
funny,
convoluted. That was convoluted. Well, what we have to do to save our data, that's for sure. But heck, I'm just trying to do an rsync here between my slug and a drive attached on my Neuros OSD. I'm only getting a transfer rate of like 50k on a local network.
It's horrible.
I don't know what the hell it is. I don't know whether it's because the...
Is that wired or wireless?
RSync's using SSH. It's wired. On the same switch, even. Yeah. It's like... And I got, like, gigs worth of data I'm trying to synchronize between two drives. Just, you know, because I bought that terabyte drive. So that I basically have another drive to copy all of my family's pictures and all that crap on, you know? But... My next stage is to try to see if I can do an FTP. The Samba transfer was faster than that. I was getting megabyte per second on a Samba transfer.
You can throw those files over there faster.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
what about
sure.
NFS? You try NFS?
That's something I may try to do. Basically, either do an NFS or maybe a mount... since the Neuros can mount Samba, I can mount it and then see if I can just do a plain old CP. You know, have a script that does that, or just do it manually. Just, you know, whenever I update one, you know, copy the other, you know, each direction, you know. But
is it
I think it might be
something besides the slope.
No. No. In fact, going to the select, like I said, I did a Samba transfer. I just ripped the DVD and moved a 1.3 gig file up to the slug in maybe 15 minutes, if that. It was going like about a meg a second. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it might be that the rsync is probably using SSH and doing some encryption that I don't necessarily need, and the slug is just bogged down by the encryption, causing the transfer speeds to go down. Because that slug is kind of weak. You know what I'm talking about there, Dave.
Oh, yeah. Everything on it, slug's slow.
Yep, slower than hell. And actually, the Neuros OSD is probably the same way.
How much RAM did it have?
That's a good question. I don't know. Let me do that. Let me see if I can figure it out. I'm a secure shelled into it from my link here.
The slug's got what, 128?
Not much.
I think you can bump it to 256 if you break that whale or whatever it's called.
I'm on the slug right now. There we go. But it's just odd. What's a good command for getting memory? Mem? No. Depends
three.
On what the three?
Three.
You're cutting out there, man.
Free.
F-R-E-E.
Free.
Oh, free.
Oh. Free.
Yeah. Free.
Free.
And that's amazing. It actually has that.
Too loud.
Sorry, I'm a little close to the mic.
Free.
Of
course, you'll open up like
it,
some kind of GNOME application to check it all out, won't you?
On the Neuros, I don't think. On the OSD, no. I'm secure shell in.
There you go.
Oh, well, yeah, if you haven't put OSDNG on yours yet, Dan, do it. If you can.
Slug. It's down. Our power went out the other day. The slug's... Is there a way to make the slug automatically reboot? I know there is.
You have to have some way of... There's a fix for having the power button pressed like a... So that... Basically so that it will do that if the power goes out. So the power goes out, I have to go over and basically I have to spin down my the drive I got it unslung to, spin it back up, and then power up the slug. I could avoid all that if I just moved it over to a thumb drive, but...
I've never spun down the drive. I just hit the power button.
I've got an external 120 gig drive that I'm using for unslung. That stores the root for unslung, so that's why I had to spin it down. Just so that
hey, do you guys think it's the bouncer from Boxy?
No.
Yeah,
they're
going to
create their own box. The box itself is interesting. It's going to be running Linux. The only thing that's kind of lame is the actual design of the box. I think it looks retarded, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's like a box sitting on its corner.
Yeah, it's on a corner, like a cube, chopped in half.
I think it was on Gizmo. They had it up next to a soda can. It was like smaller than a soda can.
Gizmo, Geek Brief, pretty much everywhere. I didn't blog about it. At least not yet, anyway.
I don't think it looks that bad.
I like the new interface.
I don't know.
The interface looks nice.
Yeah, the software is cool. I think the case is idiotic.
Yeah.
Do you have a link? Did you post a link?
I posted it already.
Will it do Netflix?
Wow.
No, I don't think so.
Not yet.
It's
no.
Linux. It's right. Linux. Has, it, there go. It doesn't have Silverlight.
What were you saying at 3:30?
So the more I look at this, the more I like it.
That looks pretty neat. Looks like it's sticking into the ground.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like somebody took it and got real pissed and just.
It needs to fit with your regular hardware. That's the problem.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know.
You know,
I don't like it.
It's designed to sit neat on. It's designed to look neat when it's sitting in your living room.
That's like my Nero SD. I like it a lot, but I don't like its form factor at all. I think
form factor is better.
No,
it's kind of just like sticking out crooked.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's kind of goofy.
See, I think this is the only thing that I had showing. You can hide everything else.
I don't know. I'm happy with my little Zotac Ion case. It looks real nice. It's small.
I need to build one of the. Actually, I need to get that adapter that you use for HDMI to VGA or what is it?
It's VGA to S-Video or Composite.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I need one of those. That and I put my
they're
my
cheap.
Link
they're like
on 30 my
bucks, TV. 30 35 bucks.
We'll see.
Yeah, the Acer Revo is going for $199. The only negative with that one is it comes with Windows XP on it by default, and it doesn't have an optical audio. Yeah, that's a single core Ion. It's a single core Atom.
Right.
The only negative with that one is. Besides coming with Windows XP, is you know that you're paying for, is it doesn't have an optical audio out connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal. I mean, for $200, that's pretty damn good. The price range is the same thing as like say a popcorn hour, and it's a hell of a lot better deal using that. You could put Boxy on it. You could put XBMC on there. You could use it as a MythBox front end. You know, it does the VDPAU. Great deal, $199, man. Some people can even get cheaper if you have like you know, your sales and stuff. But $199 seems to be going price for it. The Acer Revo.
Cool. Hey, Dynamic Dave.
Yeah.
Your Sansa fuse.
It's my daughter's Sansa fuse. I have a Sansa 280.
Is the Sansa 280 roughly the same thing as a fuse?
It's more like a Sansa View.
Oh. I really love it. What I don't love about it is the screen gets scratched to hell. And I'm still waiting for my screen my case to come for it. I just got an email a little while ago that it's on back order.
Oh, jeez.
And it's just totally scratched to heck, so I got some Novus plastic polish.
Yeah.
And,
Number two, number one, or number three?
Number two.
Okay, that's what I use on
and
my watch.
Boy, is it a pain in the ass to get these scratches out.
Yeah, it won't get, maybe a three will get the deep scratches out, but, you know, you're taking a layer of plastic off every time you use that.
I've been using it a lot. It's doing the job. It's getting a lot of the smaller scratches out, but boy,
yeah, it'll take the small ones out really.
Ball busting sure.
You may want to try the three. I mean, I tried on a small area first. But
I don't know. I'm working with this. It's not that bad. The problem I have is I'm still waiting for this damn thing to come. And if I go to use it, like I said, you brush it against your shirt and it gets a scratch.
What if you put my car door on it?
But it's a great device. I really do like it a lot.
That was a sad Dan.
Very sad.
I mine like there's no tomorrow.
What, your fuse?
You've got it.
Yeah, I've got a 280.
Yeah, that's why I got a 280, because I saw yours at OLF this year.
Yeah.
You had Rockbox on it. That's why I got a 280. I had to have one after
I
saw yours.
I'd be like a redheaded stepchild at Kmart.
Do you have a case for it?
No. Hell no.
And it doesn't get all scratched and nicked?
Yeah.
It looks like crap.
Dude, it's an Augsburg.
I got a Belkin flip case for mine.
Well, I started putting mine in a cell phone case and wearing it on my belt, but that's just because I'm a huge epic nerd.
No.
Can y'all hear him?
Yeah, I can barely hear him, but I was going to say, I'd like to watch movies on mine, and it's a little distracting with all the scratches on it, but I figure if I keep doing this for a month, just polishing it every day, I'll either have no screen left, or the scratches will be gone. Doesn't help that this crap's carcinogenic, too, if you breathe it in.
Is it? I did not know that.
Yeah, it says right here on it. It says, buffer application may create airborne crystalline silica and inhalation carcinogen.
Oh, that's silica. That's no big deal.
Yeah, why not?
I mean,
you put it on like a buffing wheel, dude.
You gotta breathe that stuff in. See, there's not enough there to hurt you. I work with 50-pound bags.
Buffing wheels, man.
We'll
a buffing wheel, huh? That'll take it right now, won't it?
You want those little ones you put on the end of a drill? There you go.
That'll take out all
the scratches.
Scratches
right out.
And
of course, sandpaper.
I just don't have a screen left.
You won't have any scratches, though.
No, I don't have to worry about it ever again. I got two more of them up here, too. I bought them. I got to be quiet. I got them for my daughter's for Christmas.
Did you just trade them in?
Yeah, I picked up a Nintendo DSi this week for daughter number two for Christmas.
You say, Dan, what you do is you scratch both of them and then give them to the kids.
You know
what?
I
think you guys did to it.
I have thought about that 3:30, but that's a shitty thing to do. Believe me. I have
Daddy,
thought about
my,
it.
Why is this all scratched?
Hey, did you let, I think I know the answer to this question already, did you let the potential future use of one of those new fuses factor in your decision making of what color to get them?
No, I got the same color.
Because I've seen your pink camera, so I figured that the pink fuse wouldn't bother you any, but when I bought my youngest daughter's DSi this week, I made sure to get a white one because I figured she could live with that, and I could too. If I ended up playing with it,
I got a blue one.
I don't care about color.
I have the black version of that one.
Of a DSi.
Yeah.
Nice system. I like mine.
I got to get a new DS because the new Zelda's out, and I really want to play it.
Your DSi. Don't get a DS Lite.
You know what, I don't know. Just an extra, like, $50.
Or wait until the DSi XL comes out.
When's that?
It's already out in Japan, of course. But I think you're seeing first quarter 2010.
What's
4-inch screen on it.
Used DSi for $79.
Yep.
Really?
Yep, GameSpot's got them for $79 used.
Huh. Hell, I would go for that.
I would too. I'm thinking about it.
Dave, man, why are you there to pick me up one?
Say the DS Lite will take a few.
I'm not picking me up one.
Dropped it in a glass of water.
The DS Lite? No, I've had a problem with the hinges on mine.
Well, that's when mine broke.
Yeah, the hinges and the shoulder buttons.
See, my girlfriend dumped
they're the weak spot.
Glass of water on it, and I just took, took what I could without a screwdriver and turned it every hour so that it all came down evenly. It fired right back up.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean,
the DSi has a better hinge design. The DSi has a better hinge design, in my opinion. And the buttons are, the shoulder buttons aren't as weak either. They're much more solid.
So,
what are you guys doing? Throwing them across the room?
No. Playing it.
Playing it with his ass.
You might be, but not me, Dan.
Throwing it against the wall when you lose.
By the way,
that's where mine broke too. I played mine hard. Not like I played it a lot, and that's where mine went, was on the hinges in the back.
Yep. The OSD, Neuros OSD, has 32 megs of RAM.
What's it have to do with the DSi?
Say, it took you that long to figure it out? Meant.
No, I had it up. You
that's
guys were just talking.
That's a whole lot less than a slug, isn't it?
Probably. It's probably one of those two that are the bottlenecks, yeah.
Yeah, probably the OSD.
Probably. I'm going to try an FTP transfer. Yeah. And a DM320, which is ARM core with a TI DSP core that does all the heavy lifting in the video recording. That's why the OSD can't do high definition. I'm kind of anxious for the new one. The 2 and the 3 is in development too already. The OSD 3. So. Yep.
Well, since Borkine changed the subject from DSIs to Neuros OSD, I'm going to change the subject just real briefly. I'll put a link in the chat room. The SciFix Linux Fest just put up a link to reserve your room.
There you go.
At a discounted price between now and January. So,
if I send in my information, you will reserve it for me?
No. But this is just to reserve your room, and you have to use the link to get the special rate. I think it's $93 between now and January 1st, and it goes up to $99. And that's just for the room. We'll be opening up registration for the event itself in the next week or so.
Where's it being hosted this year?
At the Spartanburg Marriott.
Woo!
Spartanburg, South Carolina. It's a nice hotel.
Is it as big as your previous venue, or smaller?
Oh, no, it's just much, much bigger. I mean, it's OLF big. I mean, it's...
Wow.
It's big.
Cool.
You're going to have it on two floors like they did that one year, are you?
No, it's all on one floor, and...
That sucked.
We've got about... 9 rooms for BOSS. We've got 4 big classrooms for events on Friday and Sunday, and we've got ballroom space for, I think, 1,300 people total, and we can probably accommodate 40 vendors easily on the expo floor, so we're trying to go big this year.
Man, thinking big.
What about bandwidth, man? Do you have bandwidth?
We're working on that. With any hotel, the bandwidth they have is not going to be adequate. But we're working on that. We're looking into working on that. We're looking for a sponsor to sponsor bandwidth. You know, bandwidth provided by kind of things. But.
Wait, where is this in conjunction to, where was it? It was in Greenville last year, right? No,
it was in Clemson last year. This is about 10 miles from the Greenville Spartanburg Airport, and it's between, I guess,
right,
Charlotte and Columbia.
That doesn't tell me anything. I don't know where that is. Where is it in regards to Clemson?
It is 90 miles east of Clemson.
Oh, so it's closer to me.
Yeah.
By 90 miles.
By 90 miles.
It's not too far south of the South Carolina, North Carolina border.
Cut an hour and a half off your drive, man.
Oh, I'm looking at this as like, 5 miles. No,
90 miles.
I'm trying to look at the map here from the... When you cross over to Boulder, it looks like it's about 30 miles.
Yeah.
Sweet. planning, since it's 90 miles, it's 90 miles closer, Dave, you could come and pick me up and drive me there.
Chad can pick you up. He's going to be there. I think Chad is looking at maybe teaching a Drupal class.
Oh, yeah. Well, when do registration for Docs open up?
It's open now. I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Get your talk in there, Dan.
I don't know what I talk about.
I submitted mine already.
Again.
Huh?
I submitted mine.
Oh, yeah?
Myth TV?
Yeah. I even offered to do a build lab.
Nice.
What's the theme this year, Dave? Maybe I'll do a theme talk.
We don't have a theme yet. I don't know if we're going to have a theme.
Did you have one last year? Yeah.
No, I don't think we had one last year. Last year, we'll see how many people show up.
Yep. You're basically throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what stuck.
Yeah.
Dave.
Nice.
My chest is sweaty.
Ew.
That's just more than
that Novus on it.
I should.
That's disgusting, man.
I'm coming down with a
taco powder, Dan. Taco powder.
Is that like because you have Visine or a Vaseline all over your chest to avoid your chafing problem?
You know what? I'm moving on now from Vaseline to Body Glide, so to avoid the chafing.
Astrolube.
Rub the Astrolube all over his chest.
Dan, do you take your nipples when you run?
I have put Band-Aids over them when they've been shaved.
Pasty.
He shaves his nipples?
Yuck it all up. No, it's hard, though, because I got such a hairy
nipple
chest.
And a little chain.
It'll rip the hair off when I try and take the Band-Aids off.
Aww.
You've got nipples the size of saucers, you know?
You have to shave around your nipple.
I don't want to shave around my nipples. I don't look idiotic.
You'd be like...
It doesn't look idiotic enough with Band-Aids on them.
Well, who's looking at my nipples when I'm running under my shirt?
Hope not me, that's for sure.
Did I ever talk about...
I don't want to see you run.
Well, I went running at the park. It was about the end of summer. And
you gotta take a crap?
No, it was
another hoagie guy?
No, it wasn't a crap story. So I'm driving out there, and I'm like, man, I went running the day before, and my nipples were sore. So I was like, I stopped. I had to stop
at the store. That's what she said.
Yeah, I had to stop at the store anyhow. So I went to get some Vaseline because I didn't want to drive all the way home. I figured I'd just pick up some Vaseline while I was there because I had to pick up my wife's prescription.
Slap it on his nipples.
And the only thing I could find was this huge tub of generic Vaseline, right? So I bought it, you know, thinking nothing of it. And I get to the park, and I slather on the Vaseline, and I throw it in the car. And when I get back to the car, I look in there, and I'm like, you know, this isn't looking good. I'm parked here in the park near the restroom with a big tub of Vaseline in the front of the That's not a good sign. Not a good sign at all.
It wasn't
a big
vapor rub.
Yeah. I've
got a couple
of
phone numbers on the underneath the wiper blades.
Vicks Vapor. Vicks, you know, Vapor rub on Dan's nipples make him tingle.
As a matter of fact, that, you know what, it wasn't that I forgot the Vaseline, it's that I didn't have any Vaseline, and for a while I was taking Vicks Vapor rub with me. And I will say, it does provide a coolness and a tingliness, and it also it keeps your nasal passages open when you're running. So it has some it has some added benefits there. I will tell you.
Oh, God.
But where it's not good is sometimes I get chafing down there between my legs.
Yeah, I bet it's not good down there.
So if you do that and you rub at like right where your thighs meet your ass cheeks and stuff in that area sometimes, it's a little steam fest if you try and put it down there. It's a little cooler than you want it to be.
There's vulva chilling.
Of all the things we needed to know about that.
His problem is he goes with the generic brand. Are you one of those people that tells your kids you buy like Sam's Choice Cola and tell them it's Coke?
No.
I think you're right.
My wife does that.
Oh. I do that with cereal.
I bet you do. Now, you know what? I don't mind buying an off-brand, but you're right.
Cola is good.
Cola does not taste like Coke.
No, it doesn't.
You know, Dr. Fun
does
not taste like
Sam's
Dr.
Choice?
Pepper. Yeah, I've tasted Sam's Choice.
Oh, it's awful, man.
It is awful.
Now, the Diet Sam's Choice is not that far stretched from Diet Coke.
is Sam's Choice
they both taste
off
like Diet
Coke,
Coke
or Pepsi?
Coke.
Huh. And then
how's
Dr.
their
Thunder?
Mountain Dew knockoff?
Wait, what's
I don't do that.
What is their Mountain Dew knockoff? Is it Mountain...
Mountain
Goat
Piss.
It's not Mountain Dew. It's Dr. Thunder is their Dr. Pepper ripoff. Mountain Lightning.
That's it. Mountain Lightning.
I'm not.
Dan's gonna piss some Mountain Lightning.
Yeah, Dan, you could have come up with that one a lot quicker if you would have had a Wiggy reader.
Is that on Wikipedia?
I'm sure it is.
I'm
gonna look that
stupid.
Up right now.
The Wiki reader is stupid. I'm sorry.
All right, I'm gonna look that up. Mountain Thunder. Let's see what they come back with.
Mountain Lightning.
Thunder Mountain. Nope. Oh wait, Mountain Lightning. That's right.
The wrong thing.
Formerly Green Lightning. It is on Wikipedia.
You're right. It is. It is on there. It's generic citrus soda.
Yeah.
Citrus Pop. Hee-Haw is Dr. a generic Thunder version of Mountain Dew sold at Hy-Vee stores. There you go, Dave. Hee-Haw. Now, you know what? Tell me, Dave. If you walked into a convenience store and right next to Mountain Dew was Hee-Haw or Hillbilly Holler, what would you buy?
That
Mountain Dew. Buy Hillbilly Holler?
I'd have to buy one.
No, I buy the premium stuff. It's my wife that buys the cheap stuff.
Mountain
Dew.
These
are kids. Mountain Yeller.
I'd have to have one of the other ones just to have up on a shelf to go, yeah, that exists.
Mountain Breeze. Oh, look, there's a KD version. Country Mist spelled with a K.
You ever try
a GNOME version?
Yeah.
No.
Country Mist.
No.
Mountain Gnu.
Mountain Gnu. Mountain Gnu. Made from fresh gnus.
The free Mountain Dew alternative.
Open Cola.
Yeah, they do have a Open Cola, don't they?
Yeah.
Yep.
It was a project.
How hard is it to make your own soda?
They have the recipe.
The hard part is sourcing all of the components.
Ingredients. Yeah, like cassia oil.
Well, Arabic gum is the hard part. Because there's art quality Arabic gum, and there's food quality. And if you get them wrong, art quality will kill you.
Yep.
It's poisonous.
Now, you guys like Dr. Pepper?
I like Dr.
Used
Pepper.
To when I was a teenager. Too sweet.
They got
vanilla
and
sugar water.
They got a Dr. Pepper Zero. I've never seen that.
I've never seen it either.
I
haven't had it. Coke Zero is awesome.
I like Pepsi
Splenda.
Max, too.
That is good. I agree.
Dr. Pepper Zero, Red Fusion.
I miss Red Fusion.
Huh?
That was good stuff.
No. Dr.
Crap sound like
Wait.
Starbucks drinks. What happened to just Coke and Pepsi? Like, you have to do all this magical shit to it to make it drinkable.
How about the soda with the vitamins in it? Have you seen that
That's
one?
That's ridiculous.
Just bizarre.
The only thing that you should add to cola or to any other pop is liquor.
I was about to say. Jack and Coke.
No, a little lemon in your Coke is not bad.
Nah, I don't like regular Coke, man. It's so sweet. If I was going to drink that, it would have Jack Daniels in it.
You ever get a Coke at a
restaurant?
Seven
and
seven.
Lime and Coke down on
you're
Dominican
like, oh,
Republic.
Because it doesn't have booze in it.
What's the problem with you?
What's that, Dan?
What were you saying there at 3:30?
It wasn't important.
Oh, well, go ahead, David Yates.
Please let Dynamic Dave continue.
Pepsi Ice Cube.
Dynamic
Dave.
Ice Cube coming?
I
just
said they put lime in Coke.
You what? You put a lime in Coke?
They put lime in Coke in the Dominican Republic. And down here in South Carolina, we put peanuts in Coke.
You get Coke outside of the U.S., they don't put, it's real sugar cane sugar. It's not that corn syrup crap that we
yeah,
serve.
Yeah, it's good.
It's actually real good.
You know
we
what?
A lot of it imported here from Mexico, because there's a large Mexican.
Yeah, if you live like in the border states like Texas and stuff, Arizona, you can find places that have their sugar cane stuff.
Oh, dude, we have yep.
Now, somebody was doing
like
that back in around the time of the Southeast Atlantic Fest this year. It was June, I think. It was they had throwback Coke.
Easter.
Or throwback Pepsi one. I can't remember.
Well, throwback, yeah. Throwback. Yeah,
that was all Pepsi products. The Mountain Dew was the greatest thing I've ever consumed.
Whose phone is dying?
I didn't try any of those.
It's mine.
Your phone is out.
Every once in a while I hear you.
Dave!
Bop.
You don't like lime in your Coke?
I don't like anything in it, but yeah, I mean it's okay.
I don't understand peanuts in Coke though. That doesn't make any sense.
That sounds gross.
It's just salty.
Salt in it.
What about milk and Pepsi or whatever like did in Laverne?
Shut your face.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Laverne and Shirley, man.
Yeah, the Milwaukee thing probably.
Yeah, apparently.
United Kingdom has Coca-Cola Orange.
That actually doesn't sound bad.
Unless it has real oranges in it, then it's nasty.
As long as it's just the juice.
Coca-Cola Raspberry in New Zealand? That's close to Peter 64. Maybe he's tried it.
Now they don't break that down as far as caffeine content, do they? On that page y'all looking at?
Well, I'm looking at Wikipedia. No, they don't break it down.
Which has the most caffeine? It's like Mountain Dew, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably.
Mountain Dew's up there.
Used to be.
That Code Red stuff especially.
Jolt. Yeah, years ago it was Jolt, but...
One of my favorite websites in the world for this kind of crap, BevNet.com.
If we're going to talk about beverages really cool. and websites, BumWines.com is the place to go.
That's awesome.
BumWines.
That's a great
site. Like Thunderbird and Mad Dog 2020.
Oh, God, Mad Dog.
That's some
Irish Rose, stuff. What? $1 bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Colt 45. It makes things happen.
Malt liquor.
Malt liquor is actually tolerable compared to that cheap wine crap.
Malt liquor and dollar wine.
Yeah, dollar wine is disgusting.
Dollar wine is, I'd rather drink isopropyl alcohol than that. But you get you a 40 of Mickey's or something, and you have yourself a good time.
Good time.
40 is Mickey's. You're puking your guts out, dude.
When I used to live downtown, me and a couple buddies used to have, like, Kung Fu movie night. We'd get a couple of 40s and sit on the front porch and watch Kung Fu movies on my laptop.
Just what a good Asian man would do, huh?
Well, we did it because it freaked out all the crackheads and stuff. because they'd pass through the neighborhood going downtown, you know, like to go onto the main street. And you just hear, "Hoo-yah! Hoo-yah!" And they're like, "What the hell?" It was awesome.
Actually, what's scarier is some of those energy drinks, man. Some of those things will get you keep you up all night, that's for sure. And the names of them, too. Full of chemicals. That's why
chemicals.
We drink them. That's
Dude,
why we drink
chemicals
them.
All day long.
Hey, DBH is like the Charles Griswold. Is he working on the non-nutritive cereal varnish?
Clark Griswold?
Or the lubrication he used on his saucer? That's a funny part of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything else tonight, gentlemen? It's closing up time.
New Google Maps on Android.
Oh, it's awesome, man.
I like it.
I had to manually install it for some reason. It was being very finicky on Cyanogen. So I had to manually delete it and manually install. But once it did that, it works fine, and I'm able to update it now. So
I never had a problem with it. I don't know why.
I think it had something to do when I upgraded to 4.1 Cyanogen, you know, where, you know, the closed apps, he couldn't package them anymore. So it took, like, an image of the old one. Something must have, you know, flaked out when I did that. So, but I got a...
Have you ever ran a fixed permission... Have you ever ran a fixed permission script on your phone?
No.
Yeah, try that if you ever have something like that again.
Yeah, I'll see. Other people reported it, so it was a known issue.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great.
I've never had a problem with it.
it's very accurate.
That I will agree with.
What we're talking about is the Google Maps on Android. They have turn-by-turn voice navigation, GPS navigation.
And
it's
free.
It's real nice. And it's free, yeah. Nobody else has that, man.
Yep. Alan has it.
Yeah. Alan, you tried the GPS?
Yeah, I've used it a couple times. It's neat.
What do you think?
Well, I like
it. It's neat.
It works better than my, it works better than my Garmin's, actually.
It's very accurate.
Finding the roads and stuff. It's really accurate in finding roads and stuff for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my Garmin hasn't been updated since I bought it, and that's like 4 years now, but...
Hey, did you get your firmware update on your Droid?
No, it hasn't shown up yet.
You can download it manually and do it now.
You can download it manually. They also came out with the rootkit for it, for the Droid.
Yeah, that too.
The other day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to worry about that right yet. Because it really doesn't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for them to hack that Barnes & Noble Nook. Put Linux on that. Well, different Linux on it. That thing looks pretty neat.
Yo, Davey Yates. What's
wrong
with the Lot of Linux Links podcast?
Where
Linux
you been?
Yeah, I know.
What's going on, man? Should I throw it to the graveyard?
No. I've been meaning to do one all week. It's a combination of exhaustion and lack of motivation. That's
there you
all.
Go.
It's temporary. it was an unscheduled 5 or 6 week long hiatus. I will be back very soon. I've got an interview scheduled. I've got an interview scheduled with somebody on the 22nd of December, so that I hope to have at least one podcast done before then, maybe two. So don't move me to the graveyard yet.
He's almost there.
Dan's very forgiving about that. If he's usually it's 2 months, but if he knows you, he gives you 6 months.
Yeah.
Verbal.
Yeah, Verbal's...
Verbal put out a new one.
Batu.
I know, it was like the first one in months.
Hey, that counts, though.
What about Klaatu, man?
Chad for a while was on the cusp, man.
What? I don't know about Fedora Reloaded, but Klaatu just ended season 4 of Bad Apples, so he's
going crazy, man.
Break,
you know. There you go. He's a bad apple.
Yeah, he's a bad apple.
how about, Chrome on Linux now. The beta.
I gotta run it, man. It's nice. I put it on my laptop.
I'm running Chromium, though.
Yeah, on my that workstation, I got Chromium.
Am I the only
it's the
one
same
that doesn't
thing.
Think that Chromium is all that interesting?
It's fast, man.
Very fast. And they just added
the
extensions,
the
too.
Page.
I never had a problem. A lot of
not tried it yet.
See the
first
plugin page for GNU's IceCat web browser won't render at all.
Hmm. Anyway, I like it. Chromium's nice.
Fast. I'm also a Google fanboy, so...
I am not a Google fanboy, thank you very much.
But that's right, because I'm a Google hater, so neither one of us can...
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
It evens out.
No, I use their stuff, and if Google makes some stupid mistake, I point it out, too. Just as much as you would, probably. You know, they're a company. And they're gonna make mistakes, and I've yet to lose any data with them. I can get the data out if I want to; it's not a problem, you know. So I mean, I don't have any problems. So they do what they do, and I do what I do.
If all you guys had Android phones, you would be very happy.
I agree.
Yeah,
it
trips me out
for a company
that
wouldn't be so chummy with the government.
Every company who is as big as Google is chummy with the government.
You're absolutely right.
They have to be.
Yep, they kiss their ass and
people
off.
That's right.
They make contributions to both parties.
Exactly.
Hedging their bets.
There's a lot of... Actually, there's some... They had some search engine news for once. Too. I'm not quite sure what that was, but... The boxy stuff's more interesting.
So basically, let me get this right about boxy, man. They took XBMC and they closed it?
Yep. No, it's not closed. Not
entirely.
Some
of it's closed, I think.
Yeah. I just wish they would finally release the beta code. I've been using it on my newest link. Off and on, not much. Not much. Alright. We got a song tonight.
Play us out,
Dan.
Yeah.
Then we can go to TLLTS after show if you want.
Alan, I'm sending you an email that you gotta pay attention to for me to do whatever you need done with the things that you want done. Oh, yeah.
Not a problem, sir.
You know that thing?
Yeah, that thing.
With
the... All right, tonight
that
we
other
have...
thing too?
Yes, tonight we have music from Strombi Fix off their Punk's Not Dead album called Ice Cream Youth.
Ice Cream Youth. Glorious.
So, we have a guest next week, do we not, Pat?
Yes, we do. John Cohn, who was supposed to come back be on the show a few weeks ago, he had to cancel, and he's rescheduled, so.
Third time's a charm, baby. Can't wait.
Third time. No, it's the second time.
Yeah, second time is a charm. Michelle. Wow, this is a cool screensaver.
Yeah, so check out The Colony on the Discovery Channel website. You can watch the episodes there.
Did anybody watch Jesse DeVentura's show? Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory?
No.
Jesse DeBonaventura?
Yeah. Governor Ventura, the user.
The Governator.
I just missed it today. I heard it was pretty interesting, so yeah, check it out. I did watch Alice, though, the first one.
What'd you think of that?
I liked the first one. I didn't see the second part of it, though.
It was a little goofy here and there, but it was entertaining.
Yeah, I liked it. My family liked it. Huh?
Did you finally finish V?
Oh, I did watch the, yeah, we did watch the fourth episode. Wait a second. Crap, how did that end? I don't want to give it away.
Lots of alien starships, that's all I'll say.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I remember that, yeah. I hope it comes back. I hope it comes back in the spring.
March.
That's what I said, spring.
After the Olympics. Yep.
Ross is coming back in February.
It's starting in February? Did they have any this
year?
In the fall yet?
No, they haven't had anything yet. This is the last season. It's starting up in February.
All right. Well, I'm playing this out right
play
now.
Play this out.
I got stuff I need to do, so here we go. Your song. You guys aren't going to be able to hear it again. That's right. I got to fix that.
All right.
Here we go.
Night-night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.
talk about multiprocessing?
Can we talk about Beowulf clusters?
Can we talk about Web 2.0?
Just talk geek to me.
Just talk geek to me.
Hey, it's TP. Please come check out my podcast for my take on all things geeky. You can find us at www.talkgeektome.us. That's www.talkgeektome.us. Thank you.
Just talk geek to me.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
That's it? That was it?
Yeah.
Bam. Over. Alan, you still on?
Well, yeah. Sure.
I can't even tell you if that sucked.
I know. We'll have to take Dan's word for it. It sucked.
Yeah.
Dan
picked it. It has to suck.
Alan, you still there?
Kent didn't like it.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're done. It's a done deal now.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Now you can do it from your own, all on your own from now on.
Cool. Thank you.
You are welcome, little Alan.
Yeah.
Your last post
you
was November 29th, 2008.
Yeah, no. Like I said, I've been waiting like a year on it.
Alan wants to write his yearly blog.
Yeah, it went from quarterly to yearly. I'm sorry, you know, I just don't have, like, you know, things to talk about. I mean, it's like, you know, work, sleep, pay bills.
Well,
I
want to
hear about
just
that.
Like the show.
Well, nobody wants to hear that stuff, so.
Right.
QR code generator.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that's actually kind of cool, that QR code generator. You can actually generate a contact QR code and then pass your contact information with the cameras on the phone on different Android phones.
That's what
cool.
I'm here.
Those QR codes are awesome, man.
They
let's
are.
Explain this.
I like
to people who don't know what it is. Basically, what this is. You guys want to do it?
2D binary. It's a 2D. Barcode with the URL or other information integrated into it.
Right. So what'll happen is that you'll have the QR code like on your website. Someone who has an Android phone can scan it in with the camera, and it'll either take you. It'll open up the browser to a specific website, or it will bring you to the App Store, and you can install it.
That's right. And whenever I write an Android review,
iPhone people,
I use
they
it.
Like that. Yeah, they're like, oh, that yep. looks interesting.
A lot of iPhone people can't do it because they don't have the autofocus hardware. Unless you have a 3GS, I believe it is. Yep. You have to have autofocus, and the only the 3GS has that. So.
Yeah, you're going to see those QR codes a lot more prevalent, I think.
I think I saw one, like, on an ad somewhere when I was out.
Well, they've been around for a long time. They've been in, you know, the Asian market has been using them for years.
Yeah, the Asians are into it more.
Yep. But
I think you're starting to see it over here, finally.
Mm-hmm.
zxing.appspot.com/generator.
Alan, isn't it past your bedtime, damn it?
On vacation.
Oh. Ha! Forced vacation.
I was going to stay up all night drinking and
he's on a hiatus.
This is not the forced one. Well, it is sort of because I have to like burn up my vacation days before the end of the year. I had about a month of them
cool.
to get rid of, so.
Yeah, I was off today because they had some sort of in-service day at school. So, my wife wouldn't go stir crazy. I took today off. Especially since she's going to have
geolocate this so So Dave ought to put the where the Southeast Linux Fest is going to be on this one. Put a little QR code with that on it.
You should.
That'll be a good idea. It'll take you right to the website.
Take it right to, well, either the website or you can take it to
the
URL.
Page with the discount. Yeah.
In the map. Yeah. Well, you can do it in the map, too, probably. Do a map QR code, too.
Yeah, that's what I... This one will allow you to do all that different ones.
How much info can you store in a QR code?
I don't
know.
Well, like I said, this one here allows you to do calendar events, contact information, email addresses, geolocation, phone numbers, SMS, text, or URLs, depending on which one you want it to be.
I like being able to like just zap your, if, you know, it's better than the old IR beaming they had on the palm. It's because I think it's just better. It's a neat, nifty idea. Anyway.
Oh, there you go. I just put it up on Identica. So.
What's Alan want for Christmas this year? Anything he wants?
No, I've got a Chumby on order.
A Chumby? Oh, the new one? The new Chumby?
Yeah. The new one, yeah.
The Chumby one?
Hopefully it'll ship soon. Supposed to be the end of this week, yep. I think, is when they said it's supposed to ship by.
Oh, I know it's got DRM in it. I know it's got DRM in it, but I want an Amazon Kindle. I don't care.
I want a new TV, man.
Or a new TV, yeah. Those are my two things I want.
40-inch HD LCD for my family room.
I might be getting a rear projection for free from my father-in-law.
Some of those rear projections are nice. The one I got down here in the man cave is a rear projection. And
it's
got a nice picture.
It's before HDMI. It's also before they integrated ATSC tuners.
So what does it only have, like a VGA on there?
I don't know for sure. I think it does have component. So I'm good.
Yeah. Mine has one HDMI on it.
Yeah. Component, and I'm hoping it has at least a DVI port, because then I can just hook my Norris Link up right to it. I still haven't got the... new one with the Ion yet. I'm kind of... If he gets it to me, he gets it to me. If not, that's okay, too. I'm kind of waiting for... I think what I have on mine, Link, right now, is an alpha of the software. It's still based on Intrepid, so it's kind of getting crusty. So... A little old. But... We'll see what Joe and... the Neuros hackers put out for it. I know they're supposed to have a relaunch, and that hasn't happened yet, I don't think. So. But. Hey, how's your keyboard work, Pat? Like Link said, you have the same one that we have for the Link.
It's nice.
Yeah. Do you have a lag on yours?
No.
Really?
No, well, the thing is, my RF receiver is mounted on the front.
Yeah, I put mine on the front, too.
The Zotac has the two USB connections on the front, like side-mounted, so I put them right on there.
I may just need to get some new batteries.
Have a good night, Alan.
Talk to you all next week.
I may need new batteries. See you, Alan. Good night.
Later on, Alan.
Yeah, you gotta replace the batteries every so often.
Yeah.
If it's been like a year,
get some...
change them.
No, not year yet. But. I put Hulu Desktop on this. It's just a box. It's a Linux box.
Arr.
So. Dan's back.
Arr, it's a Linux Desktop box.
Oh man, Dan, I was watching
to myself.
Metalpocalypse.
Metalpocalypse, yeah.
Oh, that is hysterical.
Isn't that a great show?
That's great.
Did you see the one where they adopted the little fat kid?
Right? You know what that show reminds me of, man? That show reminds me, like, in high school, where if you had, like, an ounce of, like, artistic talent, or you were friends with someone with artistic talent, and, like, we would draw, like, these pictures of, like, either, like, metal guys from, like, the 80s, or, like, you know, like, gladiators, like, chopping people up. The cartoon has that look, you know? It looks like it was written on somebody's back or somebody's notebook in high school.
But it's awesome. Show.
It's like all the metal stereotypes taken to the ninth degree. They have like a guitar player who's always playing the guitar. He's like in the hot tub playing the guitar.
Yeah. You ever listen to Pantera, man?
I have some of their albums. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been 5 years since Dimebag got shot.
Wow, that's horrible, man.
That
like
was
I
here,
killed, like, what, like,
Columbus.
I was like four people, right? He killed?
Yep, it was here in Columbus up at the Alrosa Villa. That's the only reason I even know anything about it. I don't listen to Pantera much, but...
Is that place any... But, what's the deal with that place? Is it like a regular place or is it a shithole?
It's actually kind of nice, but usually it's a place where, like, the... Okay, you have to be 18 to get in, but the high schoolers all try and get in, even if they're only like 16 or 17. You know, it's not really a kind of place that an adult like we would hang out.
Right.
But
that's a place you would go if you're like in college.
Maybe. You know.
And with like
it's
high
still around
hanging out there.
Yeah, it's been around for what 35 years now.
Oh, it's so, an old
I mean,
place.
They
then.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not like the one of the premier places you go see a concert here in Columbus, but it's an okay place. I'd rather go to a Lifestyles Pavilion or if it's still around, I think the Germain Amphitheater. Those two places that I go for a concert. Lifestyles is cool here. That one actually during the winter. All the concerts would be inside, and in the summer, they just open it up. They have, like, a roof that just opens up, so it's more like an amphitheater right in the downtown. It's really cool, actually, and much closer in than, like, some of the other amphitheaters. So. What the hell was that? 3:30's dog?
Yeah, it's sneezing. That's what it sounded like. Sound like a dog.
The dog sneeze.
Or cough, maybe. Yep, there you go.
That's a dog yelping.
He
just smacked him. Smacked him on the nose.
Pomeranian.
Trying to get it. Oh no, it's a lab mix. It's squeaking, trying to get the other one to chase it.
Are you the one that has like a Doberman poodle mix?
Oh, a doodle? She's a doodle.
A St. Bernard poodle mix?
That's ridiculous. That's like, my dog Sassy, she's definitely a lab mix, but she's got like some rod in her and couple other breeds I ain't quite figured out. But there's a poodle in this neighborhood, man. That poodle thinks
gets
she's
around.
Shit.
He gets around.
No, I mean, that poodle thinks she's something, and she'll try and, like, march right up and starts barking like crazy at Sassy, and Sassy's just like, go away, kid, you bother me. And she's much bigger than any of these a lot of the dogs in the neighborhood.
When I was growing up, I had a Dalmatian Pointer mix, and he was a pretty good dog. He lasted until he was about 16. After that dog died, my mother got a Shih Tzu. Man, I couldn't stand that fucking dog. The Shih Tzu was the worst.
Now, there's a neighbor down here. There's a neighbor down here who has a German Shepherd who's a freaking horse. He's huge. He's about as tall as my son is on all fours. And he can probably hop up on your shoulders. He's so big. And he won't let you pet him or nothing. You even try and he starts barking like crazy at you. Beautiful dog though. Looks great.
Yeah, they're really smart German Shepherds. They're really, really smart dogs.
Yeah, they are. Yep. Yep. Well, heck, my cat's really smart too. My cat figured out how to open the fridge.
The funniest thing, you ever seen the cats taking dumps on toilets?
Yeah. Cats hitting. You can train them to do it.
That's too funny.
So my brother's cat figured out how to turn off his PS3. So when it wants attention and he's playing PS3, it just turned off on him.
Love it. My cat just gets in the road and gets her tail stepped on.
So his buddy was
cat
playing,
was
playing Modern Warfare 2. It was like 4 hours into the game and hadn't saved. And the cat turned it off.
Oh, no. Oh! Did the cat go flying?
No, he was like, that's it, I'm going to the bar.
Did him a favor.
I cannot stand games like that with the level churn like that, where you have to sit, where you just get sucked into it and start doing level churning. You know, you're like, just one more level, just one more level, and all of a sudden it's 4 a.m. I can't play games like that. I get addicted too easy.
I hate being bored in a game.
Well, actually, I hate in the game where they keep playing the same freaking audio 500 times and you're sick of it. A lot of Nintendo games are like that.
I usually turn the music of the game off and just listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And what was a great old DOS game? Remember Redneck Rampage?
Oh yeah.
That was a classic. That had the best soundtrack.
Plus they had like two versions. They had like the R-rated version and then they had the PG version.
I think I had the R-rated version. I actually ripped all the music off of that.
Yeah, the R-rated version, when it would start up, the redneck would go, holy shit!
Yeah, he'd come at me like, get off my land!
I like blowing away the chickens in that game.
Oh, so you know it then.
Yeah, blow away the chickens and then drinking the moonshine till you
moonshine,
your character walk
and
funny.
And the pork rinds.
Pork rinds.
That was like the power up, the pork rinds.
Mm-hmm. But there was Duke Nukem. The original Duke Nukem.
Oh yeah, that was good. Duke Nukem 2 was good too. They had the OJ car chase and the TV and the strip bar.
Mm-hmm.
Duke Nukem Forever is going to be the best.
If it ever comes out.
It's not.
It's what,
done.
Now 15 years now? Ugh. What are you getting your kids for Christmas there, Pat?
I don't know.
Shit?
Well, I'm not buying them any more toys. I got enough toys from everybody. I don't know. We'll see.
So you're going to be the bad dad and buy them clothes.
My 6-year-old? My 6-year-old was asking for a drum set. I kid you not. I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh. You know what you do? Go get one of those electric ones that have headphones. And then give them the drumsticks and tell them, plug the headphones in and let them bang on it all day.
Dash away for a couple hours.
You can't hear. All you'll hear is a thuck, 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 thuck. And then he hears all the noise.
Yeah, saying they've got rubber pads on them, so it'll be adult thwack.
Yep. Thuck, thuck,
let's see what
thuck.
That goes for.
there. I think I saw one up at the Sam Ash for like maybe 60 at most. So I mean,
not too bad.
Yeah. And there, I'm sure there's some really cheap versions out there, like at Radio Shack too. This one was actually really decently made.
The Shack.
In fact, you might want to get that. You might want to get that so he doesn't bash the crap out of it.
Oh, he will bash the crap.
And be broken. Yep. Well, he's what? You see, that's your six. He's six, and then your other one's what? Three.
Yeah, he just turned six. He just turned six, and the little guy's gonna be three in a few months.
Yeah.
You can get them both.
Little guy's easy. You just get them. Yeah, wiki readers.
Wiki readers.
I listen to that, man.
But, dude, January comes around.
It's a hitchhiker's guy.
In my house.
It's a hitchhiker's guy. Yeah, yeah, you'll be the only two sales.
Let's say earlier today in the IRC, somebody was talking. It was like, yeah, when we all end up in the Road Warrior, it's like he'll be the only one with any food. He'll already have made a windmill and was, you know, already harvested pot. And I was like, hell yeah.
what does 330 need to fight the zombie apocalypse?
Water filtration system. The guy we're talking to next week, man, is awesome, man. Did you guys watch that show, The Colony, on Discovery?
Nice.
No.
Go check out the on Discovery Channel website. They have all the episodes there. It's fucking awesome. The basic premise of it was that it was like the end of the world, and imagine like a conference full of engineers, and they have to survive now because, you know, the end of the world. So they're building like flamethrowers. And like Tesla coils, and like water filtration systems, and like a solar power generator, a wood gasifier. Check it out, man. This guy is like the main one. He comes up with awesome stuff. You should have his own TV show.
On Hulu. Might be up on Hulu.
You can go to the Discovery Channel. They have all the episodes there. And of course, by the end of it, they're eating rats.
Yeah.
It's kind of a mix of like
that might
survival.
You,
and like,
you bring you
survival.
Bring up. Yeah, you bring up rats. That reminds me of Demolition Man.
But it shouldn't work like that. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. 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 All right, testing. 1, 2, 3. Say something.
Hello, hello, hello.
Something.
All right, Dave Yates, is that you?
Yes.
Turn
this
yourself
is me.
Down. Turn yourself down a little bit. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Turn yourself down a little bit more.
Test, test, test.
You're really
hot. Is that helping at all? Wait a minute, I see it.
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Check, check. 1, 2.
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Test, test, test.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. Testing.
Is this better on
testing,
my end?
Testing. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 1? Alan, say something.
2, 3, 5, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9.
1, 2, 3. Pat, say something.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Dave, say something.
Hello, 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 hello.
3:30, say Better? Something.
Hello, 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 hello.
Can you turn yourself up 3:30?
If it was physically possible, I totally would.
Well, talk louder then. Dave Yates, talk softer.
And then once Glarkon jumps in, it's all gone now.
All right, now let me see here. Calling rules.
And here comes Glarkon.
Yeah, here he comes.
Hey, can you guys hear me? This is Mike Badger.
Oh, there's Mike.
Oh, yeah, why? Sorry about that, Mike.
I just kind of snuck in here in the last couple minutes. I was waiting for you to finish testing.
I could call you, Mike.
A little bit of problem that was Pat's fault.
Yeah, Mike's all right.
It's always Pat's fault.
Yeah, I'm right.
Not here.
All the servers are sitting at Dan's place. It's my fault.
All right. Let me check something here. It's odd that we can't dial out to Broad Voice. Huh.
I used it the other night and it was working.
Yeah, that was the other night. All right.
I canned it here. I don't have Broad Voice anymore.
I'm going to have to play around with this, but since we don't need it now. All right. So let's get this show on the road instead of any more screwing around. We got important stuff to get through tonight. Everybody there?
Still here.
All right.
Still here.
We got important stuff to get through tonight. Got a bone to pick with Mr. Michael there, Mr. Badger.
Oh no. I'm all out of bones.
Don't worry, I'll find one for you. All right. We got the show intro.
1, 2, 3.
Why can't we hear the show intro coming through? I know.
Didn't plug it in.
Thank you.
Nope. Cause no, it is plugged in. I think it's because I'm running on a different channel here. There's got to be something screwy with these channels. Alright, we're not going to be able to hear the show intro, so I'll tell you when it's over, okay?
What's that?
It'll be silent until then. What the heck?
You're going to have to take a trip down there, Dan, and, like, rewire everything for you.
1, 2, 3.
Hello, hello.
Who was that?
It's me, Dorkin.
And it's noisy.
Are you plugged in?
Yes.
Unplug your battery.
It won't matter.
Unplug anyhow.
Whatever noise you guys hear, I don't hear.
It's still there.
Mute yourself a second.
Of course, you would make things difficult. Here, let me turn it down here.
1, 2,
better.
3,
Mike, can you mute yourself?
Oh!
play it. A nice hum. It sounds like an engine running.
Sounds
in it?
Yeah, I would switch over to the other side. I've just recorded a whole show.
Showtime! It's a little thing to show when they're
that's
bad.
Just if
you don't like this, just get up your way.
Ah, sorry, Mike.
Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad.
Alright, that's it. It's better now.
Kick off, Gordon.
Who's Gordon?
Huh?
Gorka. Oh, Gorka. Didn't hear the K.
Yeah, I was trying to, like, drink coffee at the same time. It didn't
that's
quite
dangerous,
work.
Man. Start shooting at your nose.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to start this puppy because I'm sick and tired of waiting around. See what's going on.